Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, Greeny. Mike Greenberg, host of Greeny on ESPN Radio, is keeping you up to date on NFL training camps. That's Greeny on ESPN Radio, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern time, or listen to the podcast of the show wherever you get your podcast. Also, don't miss Abby's Places, the new ESPN Plus series from soccer superstar Abby Wambach. Abby takes you around the country to get to the heart of soccer history and its cultural impact. Abby's Places is now streaming only on ESPN Plus. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. Now, coming up a little bit later, we've got the next installment of our charity trivia contest. We're going to have Spencer Hall and Howard Bryant. But first, it is Foxworth Friday. Dominique Foxworth, what's going on?
What's happening?
Hey, man, so you have been a guy who has been in one of them free agent years, them contract years. You know what I'm saying? You wrote a great piece for ESPN that I recommend people check out about the pressures and everything that, you know, you deal with in that, you know, is your chance to blow, right? You got it. You made it happen. You got that bread. Dennis Schroeder was in his contract year. And in the midst of that contract year, now, don't get me wrong, he was already getting paid pretty well, like $18 million a year. But the Lakers offered him, reportedly, 4 years, $84 million. It's $21 million a year. And the word on the street was he turned that down because he thought that he could get out here in the 30s. And I understand that because I feel like Otto Porter once pulled that off. So why could I not pull that off? That dude came back with a one-year contract for $5.9 million. It's making your stomach hurt and it don't even involve you.
Yeah, and he already got money, so I shouldn't cry for him. It's not like the piece I wrote and so many other players. It's like, the season was going to determine whether I had to work going forward or whether I worked because I wanted to going forward. That's not Dennis's problem as long as he's good with his money. So I'm not going to cry for him too much, but it's still gotta hurt because that's a lot of money. And the move is always to bet on yourself. I didn't have the choice to bet on myself because wasn't nobody offering me no contracts. But the thing would have been different there, but they offered him one. And it's funny because it seems like, I guess because Isaiah Thomas put up 80 points at the Crawford League, he's like on my social media right now, and maybe that's why I think of him. But he had a similar situation, but at least there we had somebody to be mad at. You know, like I stand by the fact that the decision that the Celtics made there, like I understand the decision from a basketball point of view. But as you and I talk about all the time, and a lot of the numbers nerds and armchair GMs tend to forget, it is a people business. And apparently that cost the Celtics a shot at Anthony Davis. So like you have to understand, especially in the NBA where players have a great deal of power, it's a people business. But back to the original point.
Yo, because like Isaiah Thomas, his story gets ugly because he was hurt and he was playing hurt. And he seemed to believe that the Celtics were going to reward him for what he gave up. And then they were like, no, we're going to send you to Cleveland. And then he was basically done when it looked like he thought he was about to get his max. He was about to get his deal. And I thought the Celtics were never going to give him that deal in the first place just because it didn't make no whole lot of sense.
They shouldn't have done him like that if they wasn't going to give him a deal.
Yeah, like that was the thing. 29 other teams would have basically done the same thing. But if he was like, yo, I need to get my money. And they're like, nah, we got you, dog. Don't worry about that. You know, and what we got for you is this lovely trade. That's bad business there with Schroeder. What I want to know is, what had he and his agent heard to lead them to believe that it wasn't going to go like this? Because it's one thing to pass up the $84 million and then all you get is 60, or all you get is 50, or all you get is 40. We looked up. Everybody else is out here getting this bread, and Dennis Schroeder was over there looking in the mirror trying to figure out, like, is this cool? This two different color thing, is it cool? And everything was going on in the world, and he ain't getting nothing.
I remember when I first saw Dennis playing for the Hawks, and I had to look him up to see where he was from because, like, obviously didn't recognize him from college, and he was doing weird stuff with his hair. And I guess everybody does weird stuff with their hair right now, but I was like, I don't know. Is it he? And I wasn't necessarily sure that he was from a different country, but I wanted to know what college he went to. He just seemed like he came out of nowhere. And then it was like, oh, Germany. I didn't look up by way of, because there has to be a Germany by way of. Like, maybe he was born in Germany, but I'm guessing his parents weren't.
Yeah, yeah. I will also say this. I knew instantly he wasn't from round here. Like, that right there. Like, and I guess maybe thanks to Dennis Schroeder, I definitely knew Clint Capela wasn't from around here. Like, once I saw that, like, I don't know where it is that they do that thing where you just got the little patch of off color right there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's Europe. I mean, or some parts, who knows? But yeah, his agent, I think oftentimes people fire their agent, especially in entertainment or sports. You fire your agent because you're mad. It don't necessarily mean that your agent deserved to get fired.
Right.
Dennis, your agent might deserve to get fired. Because I understand this season wasn't perfect, but...
Yo, here's the thing. His agent might deserve to get fired, or his agent might be like... I tried to tell you.
Yeah, that's
take
fair.
The money. Like, yo, I think this is a pretty good deal. Like, you like it in LA, right? Yeah, like if I was you, I think I would go ahead and jump on this deal. And the thing is, he's a good player. Like, the Celtics just got a steal in getting him for this 1 year at $5.9 million. And he from another country. So the idea of going to Boston, I think, hit him different than it hit other people, right? Because let me tell you.
He's heard the stories, but he don't really know.
Yeah, ain't a whole lot of black people that's going to be out here like, you telling me I got to take less money and I got to go to Boston in order to get it? I don't know about that, dog.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, and it's not even like he's kind of a, I mean, he's not a ball dominant player, but he's at his best, I feel like, with the ball. You ain't going to get the ball there. Like, them other dudes, they're going to run the offense through them other dudes. You might get a couple pick and roll sets, but you better play defense.
Now, I think he like, I'm going to be the one to bring the ball over. You know what I'm saying?
They
that's it. That's, I think, his strategy on this is, like, I don't need y'all to pass me the ball, right? Like, if Dennis Schroeder could, he going to get the rebound off a free throw and throw the ball off the basket support just to make sure that he gets it back. Now, I am going to look and check about the by way of, because while you and I both agree that obviously he is not of German ancestry, somebody along the way decided to change the names up because his name is, in fact, Schroeder. Which feels very German.
That's fair.
I don't really understand how that happened. And by the way, here we go.
Is it
here
Schroeder or Schroeder? I don't know what the two dots over the O means.
It's Schroeder in this case. Yeah, that's how the umlaut is going. All right, here we go. Schroeder is the son of a German father and a Gambian mother. And I need to see a picture of this German father so I understand what exactly German means.
When you start Googling, I hope so much that... his mother is white and his father's black. It just would make me so happy if it was just...
Maybe his father is white. Like, his name is Schroeder and he just ain't got no strength in them genes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I've seen that happen before. I've seen that happen quite a few times. One of my friends from college, his kids, yeah. You wouldn't be able to tell that they were of mixed race because them genes got dominated.
Well, hold up. Here is one for you that you may not know. Do you know who his agent is?
Nah.
You remember Kevin Okalaja? Played ball at Carolina back in the day?
I do, yeah.
Kevin Okalaja, who is also German, is his agent. But I look at Kevin Okalaja and I can see how that happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I need to know what part of Germany Papa Schroeder was from. He passed away in 2009, so we're not in a position to ask him. But it would be wild if Dennis Schroeder walked in. It's one thing when somebody walks in and they got a white mama, and maybe you didn't see it, but like when Jason Tatum walked in with his white mama, ain't no surprise there. Yeah. Dennis Schroeder walked in and tried to tell you that his daddy's white, and you're like, okay, whatever you say.
I forgot that. Who's that basketball player that I was shocked? There was a basketball player, man, who I was shocked was black. I can't remember.
Is
who
it the
was.
Isaiah Hartenstein guy?
Yeah. I think that was it. I forgot how it came up. It might have been on HQ or something, but I remember it might have been you, frankly, who told me. And I was like, nah. And I had to go down this Google hole and I found out. Yeah. I mean, rarely are you surprised by a white person or someone whose skin is light. And you're like, oh, surprisingly, they're black.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, who else is out here, like, kind of black and hiding in plain sight? That Tyler Johnson, I didn't know about him until somebody said something. And then he came out here the last couple of years looking like they tried to scare him straight in and went the other way. He started rocking them box braids.
Yep. Yeah, them box braids, man. What was it? I guess it was when somebody was throwing something at Kyrie, and Tyler and his box braids were so ready to redo the Malice in the Palace. Tyler yes. looked like the guy who always had to prove to people, like, nah, I ain't soft. Like, he had that spirit in him that he is always at the game and people was trying him. And he was like, nah, you got this messed up. Especially them box sprays. That is a heck of a commitment at Yo, this age.
And I don't know if you have much experience in the world of, like, getting your hair braided or whatever, but I'm just here to tell you, dog, that ain't easy hair to braid.
Yeah, it don't stay. I don't have a ton of experience in it, but I understand simple physics. I know that that will not stay, but I can't get past this Celtics thing. Can I bring us back to the Celtics?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
All right, so we both understand. So I remember the Isaiah Thomas situation, and I remember, like, not being surprised. And this is, like, loosely tied, I guess, to the NFL changing the taunting rules. It's like people are asking or wondering at least why they would do something like this. And, like, it always comes down to, like, money and doing what's in the best interest of the money, not what's in the best interest of the fans or the players. Like, the league wants to look a certain way in order to attract dollars. That's my guess is why they're curtailing taunting. The reason why the Celtics moved on from Isaiah Thomas is because there's a stack, like a decision-making stack or like a hierarchy of priorities that everyone has. And when it's an organization or a company, the highest priority tends to be, like, what's best for the shareholders. They're not going to do, like, maybe they do love Isaiah. Maybe they care about Isaiah. But that's threefold down on the list. And it just surprises me that people were surprised by that. It just, I don't know. It confuses me.
Well, what they think? The Celtics going to give $30 million a year to a 5'9" dude with a bad hip just to be nice?
I mean, he was killing that. You remember he was hype about backing up the Brinks truck and all that, made it so much worse. But I don't know. Maybe this is a reach, but with all the climate change stuff in the news, like, it just reminds me that, like, people don't trust certain institutions, but they have so much faith in others. Like, it just drives me crazy with, like, libertarians and people who are small government in general, as if they believe that government is inherently bad. So, like, and it's the vaccine too. I'm sorry I'm rambling, but I've been thinking about this all morning because it's the vaccine too. And I'm listening to, like, normal ass people. Like, no, I don't trust the government. Shut up, dummy. Yes, you do trust the government. I don't know what they're going to put in my body. Yeah, what? You ever heard of the FDA? Like, the food that you eat, it does not poison you because of the government. The house that you live in is not full of asbestos. The buildings you work in do not regularly collapse because of the government. The vehicles you drive don't blow up because of the government. The bridge you drove over to get to work don't collapse because of good government. So, like, it frustrates me when people are, like, out there, like, normal people. Like, I understand why the CEO of Shell be like, man, don't trust the government, guys. Let's get a small government out there. You know why? Because they have all the power. And the only thing that stands between them and doing whatever the hell they want is, like, a good functioning government that is backed by informed people. So it just drives me. This is all, like, your paint don't have lead in it. Your baby is not eating lead paint chips because of the government. And they do control what you put in your body. And it just pisses me off. I'm sorry.
You trust them to a degree. Like, there is a measure of trust in these institutions that whether you want to have it or not, you obviously do, right? There are some things that you, no matter who you are, have a measure of faith in. But this is the real issue that we got is just the collapse. We've talked about this for months now. The collapse in faith in institutions is what leads to people to make these dumb decisions. Like, if there's anything I learned in my first graduate school stop, it was the value of trust and the importance that trust had in making sure that everything runs. And now we're at a place because all this internet stuff and everything else that trust is harder to come by. Or more importantly, people being loud about their distrust is easier to come by and it don't necessarily make no sense. Oh, by the way, as we were talking about Tyler Johnson, I just sent you a picture of the Lopez twins' uncle. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, dog. And then after you see that picture, you go look at them boys and you just look at their hair and you're like, oh, okay, it was right there. It was right there. Like, I know they'd be going to Disney World and acting all goofy and shit, but it was right there. Who knew?
Oh, Jesus. My bad. I appreciate that. I was on my high horse ranting, and you brought me down with some good quality, who knew levity.
Who knew? Yeah. No, you're right. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure the boys, they, you know, they got that Cuban in them. They ain't got no trust in the government. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, you know, it's a different situation. Like, but no, this is... I understand a measure of healthy skepticism. Like, I don't blame people for that. But I'm trying to figure out who these people do trust.
Right.
Because I do look at some of the people they do trust, and I'm like, yo, I ain't really, you know, Uncle Sam, I feel you, but you gonna trust Uncle Johnny?
I mean, I feel you too, but I might be swinging too far in the other way. Like, I'm not advocating that you fully trust the government, but I'm just simply pointing out that you do already trust the government. As much as you want to say you don't, you do already trust the government. If you drank some water out the faucet or took a shower in it, like, you go to Mexico, you don't do that. You don't even brush your teeth with that water. Like, so, like, you have some level of trust in the government. So it just confuses me, and it just all drives me crazy, particularly when you see normal people who want to rid the game of the referees when their opponent is much bigger and stronger than them and has a knife. Yes. And you're like, man, let's get small government so that they can cheat. Like, and then so many people are like anti-union, and it's fair. Like, there's so much fair criticism of the government. They have lied about a number of things. So, like, I'm not saying that you should not have any like concern or skepticism. And the same is true of unions. Like, not all unions are perfect, but like, you think that undercutting unions is gonna somehow be better off for you, the working man?
Yes, they do. Like, they have fallen for that. They have 100% fallen, because basically they were led to believe that unions gonna help black people get money. Like, that's what fundamentally, historically, that's what it comes down to. All you would have a broad-based union of working class people except racism, right? Like that's just fundamentally what it comes down to, is right there. This is what I want to know about they putting that vaccine in there to track you. You think the world got crippled by this virus, and that all of a sudden they were like, hold up, before we send that vaccine out, put this in there. Right? Like, you think they really had time to be like, or they were just sitting around waiting for a pandemic to come around so they could put something in it? Like, it just logically and fundamentally does not make any sense.
I mean, and like, they found Bin Laden. If they want to find you, they can find you. Yes. Like, chill out. Like, so maybe they think that they planted the virus. They started this all just so they could get chips and everybody. And like, I don't know.
I just think people scared of shots, man. I think it just fundamentally come back to people afraid of needles. That's all it can be. That's the only thing that makes much sense to me, that they afraid of needles. Like, one thing I think that's interesting, I haven't seen this explicitly, but it seems that a lot of these people who are like offering or mandating shots, like, to come back, you know, like, yo, you got to get a shot to come back to work, but we got a shot here for you. They all getting that Johnson & Johnson because they can't trust you to come back to get the second one. Like, what I do not get is people who are like, yo, I got this first one, and now I'm just not coming back to get the second one.
I mean, the first one gives you some protection, but maybe they think that the computer chip is in two parts. And
these are the same people who would go back to the car wash because they forgot to put Black Magic on the tires.
It's fair. That's fair. When the time is right, I know they're already doing it, giving the third shot for people who are immunocompromised. When the time is right, I'm gonna get my third shot.
Yeah, like, I've actually seen people pose that like it's some kind of dilemma. Like, yo, if you got to get a booster shot, you gonna do it? I am in on this shot life now. I gotta go get a shot every month, I'll go get a shot every month. I used to do it for allergies when I was a youngster.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of shots. And the point you brought up a second ago about like the unions and like generally it being somewhat about race, like, that just reminds me. Just like how messed up we are as humans mentally. And I'll keep it general because I sincerely don't believe that there are any differences, like fundamental differences,
inherent differences
and differences in people of different races. But in this case, it's white people. But it just reminds me of, I guess it was some sort of psychology study that came to the conclusion that people generally would rather have less money in order to make sure that the other participant has no money, then have more money and allow the other participant to have as much money as them. Just about how it's about your life is all relative and your own like personal interests. You put those below, in some people's cases, or I guess in human nature, is to put your own personal interests below those of ensuring that someone else is in a bad position. Like, that to me is, I guess it's human nature. I don't know if that, if this
psychological study has been human nature. Yeah, like I just think, I don't know, like, if all this capitalism has warped our minds to a point that we think that everybody like this, you know what I mean? But like, are you familiar with the game theory, this exercise called dividing the dollar? And so the idea is, like, call it, you know, for people who don't know, let's say you got 100 pennies, right? Call it a dollar. And so the way the game works is you offer the other person some portion of this dollar. And if they say yes to what you've offered them, they get what you've offered. If they say no, nobody gets anything, right? So in theory, I should be able to offer you one penny and you take it because that penny is more than zero, except you looking over at buddy with 99 and you're like, nah, I ain't going for that. In theory, you should offer 99, right?
Right.
But nah, because that one isn't enough, which I guess this makes the argument of human nature under these cases, right? Just the idea, it doesn't make any sense for you to pass up any portion of that dollar, but people will pass up a portion of that dollar every single time just because they feel like the other person is getting a little bit too more. And if there's anything you learn about being black, is that white folks look at us in that way every single time. Do not let them find out that we getting something that they think we ain't earned. They gonna stop everybody from getting it. Do not tell the white man that air is free for us too. Once they find that out, we all gonna die.
Play the music, Gabe. Play the music.
Thank you for your patience. A representative from the right time will be with you shortly. Your current hold time is
15 seconds.
Yeah, no, man. That for me is the thing, is that, hey, man, once they find out we getting it for free, it's a problem.
I know there's like a crisis of like specifically psychology research, and they're like going back and checking it all. And a lot of people think that a lot of it is bogus. So maybe the research that I'm sloppily citing has been disproven. But it seems like if I just think about myself, I'm being completely honest with myself. If I'm in that game, the dollar game, like, I feel like I would be like, nah. Like, if I knew that they was trying to get me, I'm like, nah, we both going to be broke then, because you're not going to give me two pennies and take 98. You know, but like, if you give me 35, like, all right, cool. I understand. That is the tax I got to pay because you have the leverage in this situation. If you give me 50, oh, say less. Yeah. We are moving on.
Yeah, 35, you're going to hit them with, like, you're going to do me like that, dog? Oh, that's what's up. That's what you're going to do. That's how.
But thank you.
All right, I see. No, it's cool. I'll take it. No, you're right. I'll take it. It's cool. It's whatever, man.
But I mean, wouldn't you, if like you're in this game with a perfect stranger and there's 100 pennies in front of them and they slide two over to you, you flipping the table?
Yeah, especially depending on who the person is.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, if it's some stranger, I might just take the two, right? But we supposed to be homies, we supposed to be good, you know? Like I said, used to be a homie, used to be my ace, you know? Make it by down to the road.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
By the way, have you missed training camp yet? Have you started to miss training camp? Do you wish you could be back out there?
I don't understand these people who miss training camp. I've never missed training camp.
I don't think I've actually met a person who has ever said that.
I know that like ex-players will be like, oh, the smell of the grass. They'll do that whole thing. Like, oh, it's the end of the summer. It's almost that time. Like, they get all excited about that. But not me. Like, I'm good. I was done when I was done. And you're on summer vacation, essentially. Who's hyped for the first day of school? I guess you're hyped for the first day, but you ain't hyped for the second day.
No, that's exactly it. First day, you get your fit off. You know what I'm saying? You know, you ain't seen the friends in a while. Y'all be coming back and seeing each other every month in football for OTAs. Y'all. This actually got me thinking about the first day of school, though. Like, the first day of school means something different in the internet era. Like, you come back from the first day of school back in the day, and people be whole new people.
Yeah.
You might not even recognize them.
Yeah, but they've already gone on an entire marketing campaign on the summer. Like, that's essentially what Instagram is, right? Like, you were just out here marketing yourself like a product.
Yes.
And so, like, there are no surprises. I've already showed you my changes, or tried to convince you of these changes.
Yes.
I wonder how that works. Like, you used to be able to go to college and become a brand new person. Like, I remember meeting or kind of hooking back up with some of my old friends. It's like, oh yeah, you done pulled the college switch, try to convince them that you cool now.
Started going by your middle name. That's a big one on that. Now, I think you still can go to college and become a whole new person. You just got to erase your previous digital footprint. But you can still show up as a different person. You probably need to go a little farther away where, like, nobody from the crib will know you. But, like, I went to college with a dude. Y'all may have heard me tell the story before about the dude who borrowed $200 from me, disappeared, and then I caught back up with him like 10 years later, and I said something to him about the $200, and he was like, oh, you don't think that's why you haven't heard from me, is it? I mean, I'll just have to let you know that I've given my life to Christ. And I'm like, did you give Christ my $200? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know where the verse is that says that, like, you're all square with everybody else. Like, Jesus forgave you. I want my $200. But anyway,
I'm pretty sure the Bible is pretty harsh on, like, people not paying their debts.
That's what I thought. I thought that could get you a smiting. But anyway, he had showed up and become a new person. Like, he'd given himself a nickname. And it was wild because anytime we saw somebody that knew him from back in the day, nobody called him the nickname but us. And it was like, oh, you got here and you became a different person.
Good for him. Has the internet killed the my girlfriend go to a different school?
That's the one that I think the internet has destroyed is my girl go to a different school, because it's just too easy to find out if that girl actually exists.
I mean, you would have posted her at some point, or it's like, nah, yeah, my girlfriend, she lived by my grandma's house. Like, I feel like that was the move that throughout middle school happened far too often. It's like, nah, she go to a different school.
Yeah, I just don't holler at girls here. You know, the girls that are, the girls here ain't fine. But, you know, so I went to school in a small town close to a big city. So the big one always was, man, when I be in Houston, y'all know what's up when I go down to Houston. You know, I be at my cousin's house. Like, it's always that, right? Because always on the south side, never fail. You make it as far away as possible. Always as far away as you can.
Boys haven't stopped lying. Like, that's what we do, especially at that age. So, like, I guess now you just got to create some elaborate photoshopping and cutting and pasting to convince people.
What you can do, I imagine, is you get the girl that go to the other school, and you just need to make sure that she ain't got no mutual followers that nobody, you know, with nobody that know. And then maybe you can run that, and she like, why I got all these followers now who go to Madison or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really understand why these people popped up. Maybe that's the way that you wind up playing the game. Or, you know, her mama real deep into church, so she ain't allowed to have no Instagram page.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, because the thing about it is, teenagers are not very good liars, but they're also really bad at knowing a lie when they hear one.
Yeah.
Like, you think about legendary stories from middle school and high school, you look back on, I'm like, wait, that's a lie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many, like, myths that, like, we all, like, accepted and bought into until, like, I got, like, 18 or 20. I was like, what? That was absurd.
Did not make sense. And sometimes, as an adult, you still be going and being like, yo, remember that one time? Because it's more fun to believe a lie.
I feel like Lil' Kim Got a Stomach Pumped was one that was flying around the internet. Yes. Or not the internet, but flying around the building that, like, for real? Word?
Well, hold on. You know that was originally a Rod Stewart lie back in the day. Yes. That was then retrofitted for Lil' Kim.
And I absolutely believed it like a dummy.
Oh, yeah. No, people believed it about Rod Stewart.
Who else? Oh, Marilyn Manson got his ribs taken out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A rib taken out. That was something else that was.
Well, also, Marilyn Manson was Paul Pfeiffer from The Wonder Years.
Oh, that's not true.
No, it's not true. You think you would have only heard that? Like I say, there's all kinds of legends that if we stop and go back, we'd be like, yeah, you know, now that you mention it, that's kind of crazy. But see, for me, now the one on that is interesting. Now, this is not like from our age range, but still of note. Teddy Pendergrass in the car accident. Whereas I got older, I thought that who he was in the accident with was simply a legend that people had made up. And then I watched that Teddy Pendergrass documentary on Showtime. Nope. That one was true. That one proved to be true. Teddy Pendergrass was a friend of the transgender community. I had no idea, but I just assumed I was somebody it made up.
Teddy couldn't be true to himself. Him and Luther couldn't be true.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I don't know if it was a matter of Teddy couldn't be true to himself as much as we just found out. And when we found out, the dude couldn't walk no more. So we had more pressing matters that we needed to. Because clearly he was living his truth. We just didn't know.
Yeah, I guess. What was I had one in my head that I just forgot. Man, oh, well, it's gone now.
But hold up, though. We gotta press pause on this for a second because we got to pick back up with the trivia contest. We got a pretty strong matchup coming up next that the people going to get a chance to see. So we'll be right back for you in 3, 2.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Bomani Jones The Right Time Charity Trivia Tournament. We got us a hell of a matchup today, Bomani Jones. This is the matchup, right? This is the round one matchup that everybody came to see.
Yes, this is it. This is definitely the heaviest hitting of the round one matchups we got here. Tell the people who we got.
All right. So first, I'll go over the rules. Everyone gets 5 questions back to back to back. You have 1 lifeline that turns your question into a multiple choice. The winner is the person who answers the most right. Pretty simple, straightforward. Today's contestants, we got 2 sports geniuses, as far as I'm concerned. First up, it's the best thing out of Boston since Bobby Brown. Howard Bryant. Hey, Howard, welcome to the show, my friend.
What's up?
Who are you playing for today?
I'm playing, if you kept rejecting all my suggestions, so I'm playing for the Amherst Cinema because the Amherst Cinema is the only art house theater we've got out in Western Mass. So if you wanted to see Summer of Soul on the big screen and you wanted to see Dolomite Is My Name on the big screen and Do the Right Thing on the big screen and all that, this was the place to be. And in a pandemic where we're at, we need to keep them in business. So that's who I'm playing for.
Absolutely. I mean, now I just want to know who we rejected. So what is the Black Panther Party? Like, who was trying to have us?
I'm playing for communism.
I was playing for the H-Rap Brown Charter School.
All right, I'm going to send my kids there. All right, going up against Howard is the man whose name sounds like a building on campus that you had no reason to go in, Spencer Hall. What's happening, Spencer Hall?
Thank you. There is actually a Spencer Hall at the University of Utah, and there is another one, the actual building. There's a professor named Spencer Hall at the University of Utah who unfortunately gets CC'd on some of my worst and most incoherent reader complaints. Sorry about that, Dr. Hall. And there is a dormitory called Spencer Hall at the University of British Columbia.
Well, do not forget about the Morgan State Bears. I believe I grew up in Baltimore. I think there's a Spencer Hall at Morgan State also. So what if you become like benevolent philanthropist and you want to get a building named after you on campus, is it just going to be called Hall?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're just going to note it with the exponent, right? It's going to be Hall squared.
All right, well, start the GoFundMe so we can make that happen.
Who is Spencer playing for?
I am playing for New American Pathways, which is our favorite charity here, the EDSBS Hive, which helps new arrivals, refugees to the state of Georgia, get settled and get in a position for financial success in becoming new Americans.
Well, I am happy that you brought that up, but I believe that your beard does not appreciate you sending money in that direction. Move it on. First up, we're going to go with you, Howard. Here come your 5 questions. Are you ready? Remember, you have 1 lifeline if you want to turn it into multiple choice. Number 1, which NFL team does not sport a logo on either side of its helmet?
Cleveland Browns.
Nailed it. Yes,
that Howard is clearly taking this Seriously. Yeah, quick that answer, Kay.
I could tell, not that I believe my jokes are that funny, but I could tell by the fact that he is intense. He is the only one here who is not here for playing. He called in, he is ready to cook. All right, let's get H-Rat School some money. All right, number two, which NBA player, was named a league record MVP six times?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Two for two. Those are both easy, though. So, I mean, don't get too cocky. All right, here we go. How many times did the U.S. women's national basketball team bring home Olympic gold? This question is rated medium.
I'm going to say, it's just a matter of question. I'm going to say 84. Seven?
Nine is the answer.
That was a little tricky.
Bo, you didn't have it?
No, I did not.
I assume you got the other two, though, right? They're like everyone here would have gotten those, right, Spencer?
Absolutely not.
Oh, the first two? You couldn't get the first two?
Oh, first two I would have gotten, yeah. Second was kind of a guess, but I was like, hey, who's it going to be but Kareem?
All right, here we go. Number four. Who was the first running back to surpass 6,000 yards rushing during his college career?
What did I tell you? Bomani Jones, culturally biased college football question. Good. 6,000 college career.
Remember, you have your lifeline if you want to turn it to multiple choice. And one more question to go.
Okay, I thought it was five. I'm gonna go with Archie Griffin.
Can I guess here? I think I know.
Let Bo guess.
Is it a Tony Dorsett?
Do you want to throw a guess in too, or are you just?
I'll throw a guess in. I'll throw a guess in. I mean, I know the career leader, but I'll guess that it's Herschel.
Tony.
Is it Tony? Okay, yeah.
Point for Bomani, even though he's not playing. All right, here we go. Number five, Howard, last one. How many combined free throws did Purdue and Wisconsin make without missing in a single game?
What?
In a 1976 NCAA game.
No, I might as well use a lifeline because I'm just leaping into the air right now.
Yep. All right. So it's either A, 35, B, 47, C, 42, or D, 55. 35, 47, 42, or 55.
I'm just going to go 47.
Nailed it. That's three.
Ooh.
Three. All right.
That was a big one. All right, Spencer.
Watch me duff one of the easy ones and nail one of the hard ones. Inconsistency is the game here.
Ah, the Kimes. Yeah, that is now called the Kimes.
That is where you start to undersell your abilities. All right. Big matchup. Let's do it. Which MLB team began playing home games at Camden Yards in 1992?
This is a baseball question I can actually answer. The Baltimore Orioles.
Yes, I'm like you, Spencer. I can't answer very many baseball questions, but I do know the Baltimore Orioles and Camden Yards, so you got it right. All right, here we go. Which quarterback became the first to win the Super Bowl with two different teams?
With two different teams. Oh.
The first to do it.
Man, it's difficult. I'm going to make a guess. Is that Tom Brady?
I'm going with Peyton Manning.
Oh, yep. Yeah. It's yeah. See, I duffed an easy one. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Number three. Which WNBA player holds the record for most games played?
Oh, man. Candace Parker.
Sue Bird.
Still in the league.
Yeah. No, this is rough, man. It's rough.
Yeah.
Best thing I can do is tie here.
You can tie it up. Remember, you have your lifeline. How many total points did the Patriots and Rams score in Super Bowl 53, the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever?
I know that.
Go ahead and give me the lifeline because I think I'm close, but I got to stay in the league here.
10, 16, 13, or 20?
I'm going to say 13.
Anybody?
13-3.
I believe it is 16.
It's 16.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm out.
13-3.
Good job, Howard.
Oh, we got to ask the last question because Gabe wrote it. So, or Gabe got it for us. So we got to ask it. Don't want to be disrespectful to Gabe. How many basketball games? Oh my gosh. How many basketball games did Dave Leidy play for Ohio State from 2007 to 2011, setting an NCAA record? I'll just go ahead and go straight to the multiple choice. Mm-hmm. 121, 157, 135, or 174?
I'll go 170.
Everybody's favorite player.
174.
Just throwing anything out there.
It's 157.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Hey, I just want to point this out right fast because we took a little surveys and we was able to see who people thought. Yeah, I'm just saying. People was out here like, who's going to win? We had a lot of Mina. We had a lot of Spencer. Mm-mm. And I started to notice a trend in a lot of Mm-mm. these predictions. And all I'm saying is the Final Four looked black as hell, if I'm not mistaken. Y'all thought we ain't know happy. Nothing. Y'all thought we don't read. You thought you could hide it from us in a book. But oh, no, no.
I couldn't even make token.
I don't know. I mean, Spencer, you didn't get one college football question. Gabe.
The minute I duffed an easy one and the minute I missed a bird, done. Out.
Oh, well, if one white person was to get in the finals, you would have been my pick, Spencer. But, didn't work out.
Hey, I thought it might have been Nick, boy. Nick and Mina, both saltier than they want to admit about falling short. Spencer, maybe salty for the charity, but not so much for himself. Those two, they were a little heated. Mike Smith, too. I mean, Mike Smith did not appreciate people hitting him up, being like, damn, I thought you was going to win. The egos have come out.
I tried out for Jeopardy this week, so like, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It went better than this. It went a lot better than this.
I was going to say, I would love to see how that works because it's like Jeopardy. It just feels like the impossible game show. Like, how do you even know what to prep for?
Well, I don't. Based on today, I think you're good. I think you should try it. But that doesn't count. Like, I'm just stunting for no reason after going, like, what, 1 for 5, 2 for 5?
Hold on. There's no such thing as stunting for no reason, at least when I'm around.
There's a quarterback in the house.
Stunting is the reason.
I was going to say, Spencer, 1 for 4 or 1 for 5, 200 bat Mavericks.
Yeah, I'm like, what, that's Mendoza.
All right, so we got our next bracket set up, and that one is going to be, I believe, I will be taking on Shannon. I think it's me and Shannon. OG right time situation over there. And then we're going to have Joel Anderson taking on Howard Bryant. And, oh, boy, Joel ready. Joel, a lot has come out in Joel in the last couple days.
Oh, he can't tamp down that competitive nature. I appreciate that he finally roasted Mina. When we were on the podcast recording it, he was trying to be nice. Nah, couldn't do it to her face, but everybody got internet muscles.
He'd had enough. He didn't want to stunt on her particularly. He was trying to stunt on the haters, and then she popped up, and then she had to, you know, I don't even know if it's a stray, you know what I'm saying? But it had to go in her general direction. But hey, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing 3 times a week. Gabe Bassain and Dave Presley handle everything behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you to our contestants on our trivia contest. If for no other reason, then I thank you for wearing these shirts. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us. Review us. Give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.